Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Private Club Radio. I'm your host, Denny Corby. Thank you all for being here. We are in November, early November 2023, and I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for all of you listeners. And seeing as the month is, hopefully, all the time, we're all about thankfulness and being supportive of one another. This episode gave me the feels. Gave the feels. Because we are chatting with world-renowned, amazing club consummate professional, Alan Jacobs, from New Jersey to Miami to Louisiana, Lafayette, over to China with an incredible, heartwarming, sincere story to share. I'm happy, I'm honored to have Alan on. Always a joy to chat with. Happy to have him here on the show. Please enjoy. Please welcome Alan Jacobs.
Well, I've been in hospitality my whole life, but going from the starting point where, you know, what you said, yes, I was a cruise director for 5 years with Celebrity Cruises. And then I went into private clubs with Club Corporation, traveled internationally with them to CCA International, which is a partnership they had in Taiwan and Hong Kong. Then I managed all different types of country clubs, yacht clubs, and city clubs, all Platinum Club of America, top 15 clubs. I was in China for the last couple of years and was stuck there with COVID and travel restrictions. Well, I couldn't leave the country. My family was here. So as soon as the restrictions relieved at the Chinese government, I was able to leave the country. I did to come and see my family back in New Jersey. My daughter had been in Australia, so that's one of the primary driving focuses of me going to China so I could be close to her. But then COVID hit and she had to come back to the U.S. anyway. And my wife was supposed to come back and travel back and forth. But, you know, man plans and God amends. And I ended up being stuck in China. I was helping in China. I was living in an island in the South China Sea in Hainan, the Hawaii of China, if you will. It's probably one of the most exclusive clubs in the world. I was looking forward to coming back, but oddly enough, I didn't catch COVID in China. When I came back home, I caught COVID here. Then I went into congestive heart failure, and then unfortunately, I had a severe stroke. So I've been recovering from my stroke. Since I've been back basically a couple of years now almost, and I was really devastated by my stroke because it went from going from 100 to zero. I was in hospitals and rehabs for several months. I couldn't walk. My whole right side was paralyzed. I couldn't go to the bathroom myself. They couldn't lift me up without a Hoyer. But basic crane to try to lift and move me. I couldn't eat for a month and a half. I lost my ability to swallow. So I've been fighting ever since. It's been difficult, not just for my physical health, but for my mental health as well. So it's been challenging. But as you know me, I'm up to the challenge. I like to overcome and conquer. So there's no sitting down and crying. It's just fighting for me.
That's an amazing mindset to have, and I can 100% see that from you because you and I met through Lee Stahl down the Pelican chapter, and I was down there, and I think I performed at one like the Pelican chapter dinners.
I was president of the Pelican chapter.
I remember you were just so I don't want to say unamused, but it was just so funny. And then it makes sense because then I learned about the cruise ship industry. So I'm like, oh, dude, you've seen it all. But that was a really fun. There was what, like 15 of us or whatever. But we were talking afterwards, and your story's just fantastic of just, you know, where you were and then how you got to in the club world and how just whether it was the cruise ships or whatever, no matter what, you made it to the top of the game. And, you know, being able to do what you did, you know, you have to be somewhat relentless. So this is so, I would almost expect this from you. No. What, take it back, you know, 2019, you know, what was going on?
I just been recruited to the position in China, which was at a top 39 out of the top 100 clubs of the world. And actually, at the time, was a number 18 platinum club of the world. While I was there, we were able to move up the ranks to a top 11 platinum club of the world. It was a really unique and surreal experience. Fortunately for me, I love culture. I love people. That's my business, the people business and relationship business. And
amen.
I enjoyed my time there, but it was a paradigm shift as far as, you know, how to deal with the Chinese, both culturally and professionally from a business standpoint of view, because it was very contradictory to how we operate here in the United States. But I had experienced Taiwan and Hong Kong when I was younger, so I actually had an advantage of understanding how to work in that environment. And it was most difficult, but you know, I was lucky to go there and experience it. Unfortunately, the world turned upside down, and I had to make the most of a bad situation. But unfortunately for me, it got worse with COVID and dealing with a staff that lived on your club premises too. I had over 255 staff I had to take care of during COVID, as well as the membership. And so there was a lot of learning experiences during that, and really appreciating, you know, what you can do versus what you can't do. And luckily for me, that really translated when I turned, upside down with my health issues, unfortunately, when I got back. So, I'm used to not dealing with the norm. I've always dealt in the world of the surreal and exceptions, and this was just another example of it. But it was eye-opening because my priorities changed dramatically. You know, I fought so hard just to move a finger, to swallow water, ice chips, you know, to move my toe, to move my foot. I wanted to be there for my daughter, you know, who was just going through college. And, you know, she was getting her MBA. So I was looking forward to her starting her career path and eventually getting married. And my only goal that really drove me was my family and, trying to provide for them in some way still. And also walk my daughter down the aisle. So it was a totally different mentality, mindset, that I really had to cling to and embrace in order to get through this. And I'm fortunate. I'm fortunate because I can handle it, number one. And number two, there's a lot of people that are a lot worse off than me. I was lucky. I was able to come back a little bit. I regained some of my right side. I can't walk really that well. I kind of waddle like an infant. Luckily, I can still eat. I'm a scratch eater, Denny, so I can eat still. But I lost a lot of weight, and I would recommend my diet. I did it the hard way. you know, I realized what was important in life and what to be thankful for and have gratitude for doing all the amazing things I've been able to accomplish in my life up until that point. I was fortunate where I was able to do it while I was young, you know, travel the world several times and experience things people won't experience for their whole lives. I did it by the time I was 30. So I had that, you know, awareness and self-awareness and mindfulness that, you know, I'm not going to miss out on anything. You know, from that standpoint, I've done it. You know, and my drive is maybe I can do it again and enjoy and share more with my family and friends. But I've taken care of people my whole life. I'm a provider. That's my love language. And being not able to provide and now being on permanent disability, I went from making a lot of money to making barely anything from Social Security. So it was a big shock to my system. And I had to learn, more importantly, what Alan version 2.0 was. I loved Alan version 1.0, but I didn't like Alan 2.0. And it was very challenging because, you know, in this country, you know, I saw every ologist there was when I got sick and had a stroke. I had endocrinologist, nephrologist, neurologist, cardiologist. But the last person I saw, and it took over 9 months, was a psychiatrist and a psychologist. No one ever told me, you know, what to expect, what kind of stroke I had, you know, what my prognosis would be. Everyone left everything vague, and it's like it's all different based on different people. But I was left high and dry, and your loved ones and family don't know as well. So it was really hard to find the necessary help to deal with that because you need a strong mind in order to have a strong body. And, you know, and to have your physical health, you definitely need your mental health. But I have a lot of gratitude. You know, I have friends in the CMAA who, you know, really reached out to me and came visit me and well wished me and prayed for my recovery. From, you know, Army at Copland Cable and Tom Wallace and Manny at GSI and Jeff Morgan, the chairman of the association, I felt touched, you know, because I always try to make a difference and make people happy in life. There's a lot in this world that, you know, people can be very unhappy about, especially nowadays. But if you don't have your physical health and you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. You know, and for me, that's the worst thing in the world, you know, not being able to take care of people the way I was, because I got my joy, my drive, it was my lifeblood and my passion to make people happy and enjoy life and have that haven of refuge away from the world of what's going on now. So, you know, it's hard. It's hard. I don't travel a lot. I've actually tried to drive a car again. It's a little scary because I wasn't a good driver to begin with when I didn't have a stroke, and I don't get seasick because of my years on the cruise ship, but I do get car sick. So, but you know, I try to take everything with a grain of salt. It's hard to, you know, feel gratitude and appreciate anything when you're in my circumstance. So that's my fight to stay positive all the time. And I've been fortunate where I've, you know, spoke with PGA Magazine, you know, the Platinum Club Managers Club Mastermind, and PGA invited me to a conference I think next month in Atlanta to speak to some people or attend and just share my story. Rick from Mindfulness University have asked me to go to a couple of clubs. You know, it's difficult for me to travel, but it gives me goals and drives. So if I can help one person, that's my goal. You know, I'm a cautionary tale, Denny. You know me, I was pretty vibrant and, you know, I enjoyed life to its fullest, but the rug was taken out from under me, you know, and, you know, I really, you know, care about my colleagues and my peers, and I want them to know how important it is to cherish life, cherish your family, appreciate that you can wake up in the morning and do what you do, not only for others, but do something for yourself, because life is short. Oh, don't learn the hard way like me. I'm the cautionary tale. You know, take some time for yourself and your family, and yeah, I think you'll be a much more content and happy person, because that's the only thing that carries you through these difficulties like I experienced.
If you can go back, let's say, what would you tell, you know, what would you tell 40-year-old Alan?
That's a good question. I'm a little older than 40, so thank you. But telling the 50-plus Alan, you know, I was unfortunately, you know, had some medical problems when I was younger, and I went through a lot. And when I first found out I had a brain cyst and I had passed out while I was driving, and this is going to be a long haul for me because it was inoperable. I said I'm going to cry one day. When I was 18 to 22, I had about 8 brain surgeries. I don't feel that much pain, to be honest with you. More pain in the heart than pain in the body. But I said to myself then, I was going to allow myself one day to cry. Let it all out. Just let it all out. And the next day, I'm going to fight. I'm going to overcome and conquer. And I made a promise to myself. There's two caveats I was going to live by, is make it a better day and never say what if. And I was fortunate enough to do that. You know, everyone counted me down. They thought I'd be dead by I was 30. But by the time I was 30, I was very highly successful. You know, I had been a cruise director. I've traveled the world many times. I knew what I wanted to do, and I did it. And I would say to myself, follow your dreams. Never listen to anybody. But I would say, take better care of yourself, your health, because I was contributory and negligent as far as my health. I thought I was invincible. No one's invincible. You can find that out real quick. So I would have cherished more. Not that I didn't have a good time, but I would have cherished more, and I would have taken better care of myself so I can set myself up for a better future. You know, my future, I don't know what it is, you know, but I'm going to try to do what I can do with the time I have left to be there for my family, you know, help guide them. And be there for as long as I can. I don't know what the future brings, but I'm gonna kick its ass, call me. Sorry.
You're good, man. Let it out.
You know, I can take it. I have broad shoulders. You know, God made me a fighter. And, you know, I'm going to prove him wrong. You know, I have faith, but I've had fight with God over this. I said, why me? What did I do? You know, now I see people on TV, you know, going around doing all these different things, and, you know, I can't do them anymore. And I'm jealous and I'm angry. And I just got to say, you know, God did it for a reason. I don't know what the reason is, but if I could help one person not do what I did to get to this point and take care of themselves, that's what I'm going to do. And I want to be examples to my daughter. No matter what, you got to get up. No one thought I'd get up. People didn't think I would be able to talk. And you know, I had a big mouth. And I had a cruise director voice, you know. But, you know, it's all new to me now. It's like I'm a baby learning how to walk and talk and swallow. But I want to be an example to her to say, don't let anything get you down. You got to keep fighting because life will throw things at you. And you got to throw things back sometimes. And, you know, that's where I am. I've accomplished a lot. You know, I can walk without a walker, without a cane. It's rather infantile, but I can walk. I can, you know, they told me I'd have to get something for my stairs to lift me up to a stair lift to lift me up. Excuse my French. Hell no. And so, I got out of the hospitals, in late summer, and they said it'll probably be a year or so to where you can get up to the chairlift and you can go up the stairs. But I set a goal that I was going to walk up the stairs again. And by November, I surprised my wife. You know, I climbed up the stairs and I was waiting like Burt Reynolds on the bed, doing his pose. It scared the crap out of her. But, you know, I climbed the stairs myself. It wasn't easy, but I did it. And, you know, I just want to prove people wrong. If someone tells me, no, you can't, I'm going to tell them, you don't know me. There's no in my vocabulary. It's what I can do and how I can do it. You know, I'll teach, you know, I learned a saying from my mother, who's 82, and I race her on her walker, and she takes care of me a lot. On days my wife works, but she said to me, don't freak out, figure it out. So that's good advice for a lot of things in life, because there's always a way. You just got to figure out the way and have the fortitude to keep on thinking. So there's a lot of different ways to do things. Some may be more hard, some may be easier. But there's different ways, and you can still do it. So I'm not freaking out. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm going to make it a better day, and I'm not going to say what if. And I'm going to come back again. People are going to see me in person. You know, I might not be working, you know, or might be consulting or might be doing something, but, you know, unfortunately for other people, my mind is okay. I got my cognitive abilities to some degree. It's my body's that's not working at 100%. But you learn something that, you know, people treat you different. You know, people speak louder to me now. People speak slower to me. You know, they don't think I can do anything, you know. It's like, you know, it gets me upset because I'm not stupid.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I can hear you well, you know, so it's like, wow. You know, that has its own set of challenges too. You know, again, you have to work through, you know, if that's my worst lot in life, then that's fine.
Yeah, you know, that has to be difficult mentally. That is, wow. I did not even.
Well, you know what the hard part is?
Slower and think that you're dumber. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, especially for me, because I'm lucky. You know, I have a saying in life, when you become aware of something, you have responsibility. You know, I never read things in book and took them as gospel. I went out to different countries, different places, and experienced them. I was there when Germany reunited, you know, being in China, you know, dealing with the Communist Party, you know, different things of that nature. And I don't take anything with a grain of salt. I want to know for my own self. I do the due diligence, educate myself. But when I was in the hospitals and the rehabs, if you have any loved ones, make sure they have an advocate, be there for them, or don't have them there, because, you know, the therapy you might get might be great. And I haven't had any question about the therapy, but for 21 hours after that, or 22 hours, you're in the care of people. And those rehabs are really a machine. You're not a human being. You're a commodity. And people are not aware of what's happening to them, and they're very mistreated. I can tell you horror stories of what happened to me, the abuses and different things, but I was well aware of it. So I fought back. You know, I wasn't going to have it. I just say, you know, take care of your loved ones too, if they're in a situation like myself, because you can't rely on anybody except yourselves as a family to monitor and take care of someone that you love. Because once you're gone and out of that room, you don't know what happens. And maybe that person who's lying there doesn't know what happens. So I implore people, you know, make sure someone's there or has an advocate, because that's very important, because that could really do a lot of damage mentally, and that can have a big effect on what happens to you, you know, physically, you know. So, though I don't want to be a doomsdayer in that regard, but it's important that, you know, especially nowadays, we take care of our members. Our members join our clubs to be with, you know, similar people with a mindset and culture and appreciation of things. You know, we have to be able to understand that, you know, a family unit is like having members of a club. You know, you have a special bond, and you have to make sure that you're protecting and that bond and being able to enhance and enjoy the fruits of that bond that you have. So take care of yourself. Take care of your loved ones. Tell someone you love them, even though you may not at the moment. You know, I learned one thing. My wife is a RT, respiratory therapist. She's been on the front lines of COVID, you know, during a whole COVID experience. She has a lot of stress. She sees a lot of death. How she's been able to support me and take care of me and give me the tough love that's necessary is amazing. You know, I won the lottery when I married my wife for over 27 years. My daughter, who's 24, stopped her life when she was in college and after college, and really became a caretaker for me. She just got a full-time job now at 24, you know, almost a year and a half, 2 years later, because she wanted to be there for me. So there was a guilt that I have because of that, and I want her to start her own life. But, you know, that is what life is all about, the love that you share with people like that when, you know, when it's tough, you know, you really know who's there for you. And I've been lucky. I have a lot of family, friends, and colleagues like yourself that have been there for me. And, you know, I want to be there for you and them, and by just waking you up a little bit, maybe scaring you a little bit. But, you know, I don't want what happened to me to ever happen to anybody. I want to wish this upon my worst enemy. So, you know, I hope people get something out of this, you know, and hear this, and it can resonate just a little bit, because that would bring me a lot of joy and happiness.
You definitely touched me and probably a lot of listeners. So, wow.
Well,
it's one of those, like, there's also so many places to go and just how amazing your family is and just, you know, the story and the bond that, you know, thank you so much for sharing is really what I'm trying to get at.
Well, I wish I wasn't in a position where I shared something like this. I wish I didn't know about it. But, you know, I also wish someone opened my eyes when you said, what would you say to Alan who's 40 years old? You know, no matter what, we're not invincible. We're not supermen, although as club managers, a lot of us are. We're a jack of all trades, master of all trades at times, and we wear many different hats. But sometimes we got to take off all those work hats and thinking caps and put on our baseball caps and, you know, enjoy life, because, you know, something can happen and I don't want it to happen. I want you to have the chance to do that. So thank you for giving me the opportunity. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. I worked me up emotionally a little bit, but this is an emotional subject to me because I care. I really care sincerely. And in order to remain significant and relevant, you have to remain significant and relevant. So take care of yourselves. You know, there's a lot to smile about too in life. Take the time to laugh and smile and enjoy and share that gift with everyone else, and take care of yourself doing it. And, you know, I have a message for everybody. I love you. I love you. And just, you know, what we do is a thankless job sometimes, but I'm thanking you on behalf of everybody, all the people who are listening to this, all the club managers, because you're a unique and special person.
I appreciate you, sir. Well, that was something. Wow. That was an episode. That was an episode. Once again, Alan, thanks for sharing. And I hope everybody got a little something from that. Until next time, catch y'all on the floppity flop.